Roe, would you pray over me this morning?
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for bringing us together to study your word. And God, let the word today that Bob brings forth today, let it just permeate our hearts and sink in, and so that not only do we listen to it, but we apply it to our lives and live a more holy and godly life that others may see Jesus in us. Bless this time together as we dedicate it to you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Good morning, everybody. All right, we're going to get cranking this morning. Everyone, turn with me in your Bibles or turn on your devices and turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. Everybody there? All right. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 10. Follow with me, please. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. No gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. Thank goodness that doesn't happen today, right? But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we already have said, this is so important when something is repeated twice. He's saying, listen, as if we already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? We need to always think that. Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ. Let me say one more time. If anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. But if you listen to it and follow it, you're going to be under the same curse. All right? They're cursed for saying it, but if you listen to it and follow it, you're going to be under the same curse. See what he says to start with? I'm astonished. Thank goodness. As much as that poor man had seen, that his heart was still pure, wasn't it? Imagine how many people left him. The churches he go to, every church he went to was because it was out of order. All of the letters were written not saying, hey, great job, keep it up. Something was out of order. And that's great, because there is no perfect church. Because the church is made up of people and there's no perfect person. But he was astonished, which is good, but yes, Brian.
Just trying to quote you from a few weeks ago. Didn't you say we were perfect? Yeah, that's right.
No.
That's right.
No, 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 no.
That's a question.
Yes, no, that's not what I said. What did I say?
All perfect Christians. Exactly.
You are perfect Christians, not perfect persons. No, two different. Thank you.
The persons make up the church, right?
Yes.
So if you figure that one out.
I'm sorry.
No, 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 no. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But are we astonished? Really, sometimes I'm not. Because after being here over 30, I think it's 31 years now. Yes, I come in 87, so it's 31 years I've been here. I cannot count the people that have come and gone over those years. Some of the people are still here. Some that were here when I come are still here. There's a lot that left for proper reasons and good reasons in the right way. And that's fine. That's being sent out. But there's many that didn't. Too many that didn't. If it was one, it would be too many. But let's take a fast look at this. No other gospel. He said, you're so quickly deserting the one who called you Turn with me to Ephesians 1:11. I used this last Sunday when I spoke up front Sunday morning. But I used the latter half of it about the plan, purpose, and will. Let's take a fast look at the beginning of this. In him, this is probably one of the deepest one sentences you will ever hear in the Word of God. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. My goodness. You could take that and teach for a year, couldn't you, Pastor? And not even, and still have something else to say. But he talks about being called and chosen, right? Here he uses the word chosen. Is there a difference between called and chosen? Turn with me to Matthew. Ooh, Brian, you have your device? Brian, no, you're Brian. That's it. Yeah, okay. Okay, read this first, then we'll get his comment, please. You're confusing me. Matthew 22, verse 14. Turn to that, if you wouldn't read it, please, since you have the microphone and such a great announcing voice. The voice of Melvindale.
For many are invited, but few are chosen.
Okay. That's been changed from the original NIV. In the original 78, when it first came out, it said called. And I think that is a lot more appropriate. I hate to say it, this is my humble opinion. Every time they make it a change to update something, I think they lose something. The original, except for a few things, I think was the best. But it says what? Read it one more time, but use the word called.
For many are called, but few are chosen.
Many are called, but few are chosen. So there is a difference. Now, what is that saying? Certain people are already predestined to be saved and some aren't. Then what's it saying?
I kind of, like, even though it says invited, it's like, hey, you're called, you're invited, like,
right.
Come on. But they don't want to come.
But it doesn't say all are called.
Ed wants to comment.
All right. We'll finish this thought in a minute. Go ahead, Ed.
I wasn't going to comment because already this is like you're going to kick a hornet's nest here. So.
No. This is really easy. Go. Did you want?
I was just going to agree with it.
Okay.
That's what I think it means is that many are called, but few are chosen. That they are chosen because that's what the scripture shows us.
Actually,
everything's
yes, and I'll read a few more that say that. But to get the big quandary out of the way, well, why should we minister to people? So why would I waste my time talking to Charlie? He ain't chosen. He's not called. Say that again. I don't know. What God is saying is he knows. He knows everything. He's already seen everything. He made everything. He planned everything. Me, I know nothing, except that his last words were to take into all the world, not go preach to those that are called, especially to the ones that are chosen. He said, go into all nations, all the world, and preach the gospel. I don't know who's called, who's chosen, who isn't. My job is to give it to everybody, and whatever they do with it, that's on to them. When God asks you to do something, go speak to Charlie. I go give Charlie the word. He just laughs at me and walks off. I've got my blessing. Why? Because God asked me to do something and I did it. The results aren't mine. I'm not doing anything. It's like a radio. Is a radio a good singer? It simply repeats something that's being told. We should be like a radio. We're only saying what God is saying. We're only doing what God asks us to do. And if he asked me to speak to Charlie, whether or not Charlie accepts that, it's not on me, is it? So don't worry about the great spiritual implications of all those words as far as speaking to people and sharing the gospel. Share it with everybody, right? If you get the opportunity and it opens up, because look around. Most of us would have never thought, there was a time when we never thought we were called or chosen, right? I was called to many things, but I never thought it was this. And I was chosen a lot of times that I went to jail. I was chosen for that. So that one, That's a way to handle that. Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who have loved him, who have been called according to his purpose. Same thought to a different church. Right? So I think it's appropriate for this church to hear it as well, right? Works for the good. What's good? Somebody give me a definition of good. Say that again. Give them the microphone, please.
I said whatever God says is good. Is good.
Only good only comes from God. Nothing else. You're absolutely right. So what's God saying? All things are going to work out if we are following his plan, his purpose, his will. Then everything is going to work out for our good, because that's what we've been called to do. That's what we talked about for the almost all year, haven't we? Galatians 1:15. Well, when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb, in other words, before you were born, and called me by his grace, was pleased. There again, we've all been called and chosen, or we wouldn't be sitting here. That's a great responsibility that you've been given. God has chosen you. But before you get a big head, because I seen Brian kind of popped his collar there. God chooses what? The despised, the foolish. Thank you, Lord. So is what? And it talks about the gospel. There's only one gospel. That's the main point he's getting around. There will always be people coming and preaching another gospel, right? It started at the very beginning when Satan tested Jesus. What did he use? The word, right? We were just talking about that the other day in class, Pastor Don. I forget if it was Wednesday or Thursday, but we're talking about that's what he always uses. And a good liar will tell you 90% truth and 10% lie, and you're going to believe it. Unless you know 100% of the word. Right? That's why God said, man, it's great, these Berean guys. Paul wrote most of the New Testament. Probably the most well-known apostle there ever was or probably ever will be. But yet he come and spoke in their church. What did they do? Let's check this out. He said, okay, yeah, but yeah, that's right. And he commended them for it. He didn't say, who are you guys? To check after Paul. He said, you're doing the right thing. Because there's always people going to come and pervert the gospel in our lives. But I like the fact that in this scripture he tells us it's not really a gospel. It's not a true religion. I love the way Pastor Don explains it. They're simply giving you their worldview. All they're spouting is not godly. It's just their view of the world. And everybody wants to tell you what's right and what's wrong. You cannot watch TV for 5 minutes without somebody telling you what you should do, what you should buy, what you should eat, what you should put on your hair, what you should brush your teeth with, right? Oprah, how to live your life, right? Everybody, why do you think these shows like Dr. Phil and Oprah are so popular? Everybody wants a magic formula. Even in Christianity, we would like one prayer that covers everything. All I have to do is pray this one prayer, and my life is perfect. Well, if you find that prayer, let me know, because I have not found it yet. I'm looking for it, but I haven't found it. And there is no such thing, right? It's walking out, being built on. Give her the mic, would you please?
His will be done. Whether you think your circumstances are perfect or not, it'll work out for your good.
Yes, that's it. Good meant, like I said, his will. Absolutely. It's his will that makes the difference. And his will is good. Nothing else is good. Pastor?
Yeah, many of you know my sister used to date this guy, Tom Kowalski. you remember him. He was a radio announcer, sports announcer. And he was an atheist. So he'd come to the house, you know, like for the holidays with my sister, and we'd sit there yakking. And, you know, he would tell me, yeah, I'm not religious. I don't believe in God. I go, you do more preaching on your radio program than I've ever done. I said, because you're trying to convince everybody what's right and what's wrong. You got no type of standard. He goes, I don't, you know. I go, no, when you're promoting right or wrong, whether it's two guys arguing about whether or not this player should be traded or this guy's not doing enough, you're still setting, you're appealing to some type of standard. I said, so you need to listen to yourself, you know. And then there was one day he had made a comment, like, I swear on the Bible. And I happened to hear this right before he died, and I was going to call up. And I said, I thought you were an atheist. Now you're referencing the Bible as your source of authority. Boy, I'll tell you what. But it doesn't matter who you speak to or who you listen to. You got to remember this. They are preaching a gospel. It's not the good news.
Nope.
So you watch CNN, even Fox News, or I don't care who it is, you've got to judge every word by what saith the Scriptures.
Yep.
But unfortunately, most Christians, and we're all guilty of it, we listen to somebody, and just because we like them, we accept whatever they say about a particular subject is the gospel truth, and that's where we got to be careful. So that's what we got to be, as Bob said, like the Bereans, and somebody tells you they're an atheist or agnostic, you watch them long enough, and they're going to say, that was wrong, or this is right. And you go, what standard are you appealing? Because if there's no God, there's no objective standard to appeal to. But if there is a God, there is that standard to appeal to. And you'll see they're just as fanatical, and they're just as zealous as we might be in the presentation. We want to present the true gospel.
Some more so.
You're exactly right. Exactly right.
Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4. If someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. He's talking to the Corinthians church. They're putting up with it. Is that a good thing?
No.
But we're meant to make peace, aren't we? To love everybody. No. Thank you. Everybody should have said no. We're to be at peace with God. And accepting something that God does not like is no way to be at peace with God, is it? Absolutely not. And what he's saying here is, at this time, and it still holds true today, that the Jesus they were preaching was cast in the mold of the true God, the true Judaistic version and teachings of who Christ was. But they were promoting something that had no power, no life, no truth to it. And that still holds true today. A lot of churches back at that time were bringing some of the traditional teachings of Judaism, trying to get it back into the new Christian movement. Circumcision, things like that, dietary laws. And you'll have people coming and doing that to you today in all different ways, wanting to just slowly interject. I love those coexist signs. Coexist, right? What does that mean? That means, I'm going to tell you what it means. It means that we're supposed to put up with their garbage, but they don't have to listen to us. That's exactly what coexist means to most of those people with that on the back of their car. Different spirit. A different spirit. What do we have? We have simply, I'm glad you asked, honey. I'm going to tell you. What kind of spirit did God come with in his message? A message of freedom, of hope. Most any other spirit is going to bring just the opposite. It's going to bring fear. It's going to bring bondage. It's going to bring worldliness, right? But aren't you worried about the world? No. God's got that under control. Who are we to think we could? Well, I'm going to save the world. Sure you are. Somebody, I've had somebody say that, and I said, have you ever been out of the United States? Well, no. You ever been to all 52? Well, no. Well, how are you going to save the whole world when you've been to like three states? You don't even know what the world is. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Says who? Everybody. Right then, why talk to somebody like that? Just basing their religion on nothing but what they heard from some guy they liked or some lady that sounded good. And it's even more important today because we're so inundated with TV and radio and stuff and the people that's speaking on there. All we know about somebody on TV is, well, they look good. Nice suit. Sound great. Great voice. Let's see, is what he's saying? Yeah, it's right. But is what he's saying what he's living up to? Would I listen to somebody that's telling me to do something they wouldn't do? You might be. I mean, let's be honest. How many pastors have we seen fall? That we stood there and I have felt just an anointing. That they were called, that this person is really speaking God's word. But when it got down off that pulpit, what did they do? Where was their heart really? With a heart like that, was the word really coming through them? That's like a staticky radio. It's distorted. But that donkey spoke perfectly because he was speaking God's will. If he was speaking donkey, I wouldn't have listened. Bah, bah. It's my donkey imitation. Thank you. All right. We're running low on time here. People who pervert the gospel is what he's talking about. 2. Acts 15:24. We have heard that some went out from us without our authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. Whose fault was that? The people that listened, the church had accepted that person. Who sent you? Do you have a letter? What's your pastor's name, number? Can I call him? Right? Pastor.
Yeah, years ago, and this just shows you, you know, that how even pastors, and you can find out their heart real quick. There was somebody attending their church who was involved in a very serious sin. And they had been disciplined by a church, and they had not rectified or taken care of the issue. And I remember calling the pastor there and informing him about it. And this was the first question out of his mouth. Does he tithe? I said, yeah, what's that got to do with what he's done? You're receiving him into fellowship, okay? You're the pastor by opening that door. He said, well, we got to minister to everybody. He refused to take any type of advice. You know, in the book of Acts, they would send a letter with someone if you went to a different church, and you read that maybe on one or two occasions.
They were sent out.
And that was the authorization. We're from the apostles here in Jerusalem. We're from Paul or what have you. And I'll never forget, he just rejected it. Went to the church and spoke with the assistant pastor, and he kind of threw his shoulders up and said, well, you know, he's the head pastor. He's not going to take any steps. Within 1 year, the guy that was there, that same sin just spread throughout that church. It was amazing to see. But it was like, hey, we're going to bring the wolves in. But I'll never forget, it's like, you know, we're more interested in so-called loving people than standing up for the truth. So that's just an example. And you don't find that very much. And on the other hand, I had called another pastor one time. And I said, we got a couple that just started attending the church. What can you tell me about them? He says, they're dangerous. And he was exactly right. He says, you're the first pastor who's ever called me to get like a background or a reference check. And I just knew, you know, and unfortunately that doesn't happen. How many problems that would solve, you know, with a lot of churches? Because a lot of people are just, they're taking their issues with them and they're going to cause a problem somewhere else. But if the pastors were truly walking according to the scripture, say, wait a minute, we're going to receive you in a fellowship, but I want to know where you came from. I want to make sure you didn't leave with a problem. You know, I want to make sure you were outstanding. Then we will receive you after I speak to your pastor. and we'll receive you into fellowship. But we just want to receive everyone. We don't care where they came from or what they did. We'll minister to them. They ministered to them all right at that one church. And it was unbelievable what happened within that next year.
But he was. But he tied.
He tied.
Yeah.
He paid for his sin.
That is very important, and we need to do that in our lives, because everyone here, if you're the head of your household, you're the pastor over that household. God has given you that responsibility. Oh, go ahead, Ed. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say it's weird that we do that, because even in business, right, when you write a resume, you're going to put some references on there. You're going to, whoever's interviewing you is going to call. They're going to check out your current employment. They're going to check out your references. And then they're going to make a decision whether they want to hire you or not. And that's just employment, right?
And a lot of times that doesn't happen. We hear stories. I forgot which one it was. This guy lied on. He's got some real important job now, and they found out he'd lied his whole life on whether he had diplomas and stuff like that. You come in sounding good and stuff with like one diploma, you can tell them anything. Well, I've got the 8 more at home, you know. Was that you?
No. I want to ask to Pastor Don. So the dangerous people, did they leave here? Are they still around?
No,
okay. Whew.
Do you think he was talking about you?
Well, you know.
The word also says, don't invite him in your house. That type of person coming with a false word, do not invite him to your house. That's why I say that everybody that has charge over their household, right? I say this to some women that are in charge of the household, you know, single mothers, stuff like that. You're still in charge of that household. You have to, it's your responsibility to check anything that you let in there. Right? You'll be judged by what you hear, what you listen to, and what you let into your heart, into your house. Amen? All right, a couple. I'm going to end with this. Romans 16:17. All right. No, it wasn't a test. It was a mistake. The very last sentence. This is a sentence. So it's a complete thought. Keep away from them. But, Pastor, we should show them our love. But, Pastor, we need to go show them our love and invite them back. Pastor, they're just in error. It's our job to love on them and to show them the right way, Father, and they will come back, Lord. Is that what it says here? Somebody that's preaching a gospel other than Christ, keep away from them. Well, you know, sometimes I listen to people on TV that I know everything they say isn't true. But I'll glean out the good parts. Yeah. How many people here go through a pile of cow dung for their lunch? Glean out the good parts of that. Same difference.
It's funny you should say that.
No, you haven't.
Yeah. Yeah. On not Facebook. So I thought when I read that, I thought how many Christians have beat them to that.
But don't be silly that you can glean. It even. The right thing from something that is not right, right? You can't get a good word from a bad person. All right? That's what the word says. Keep away from them. Period. Amen? Yes, Sharon. Give her.
Is when you hang around people like that, that God has specifically in his word told you not to associate with.
Yes.
They have allowed demonic spirits in their life. And God has predestined you to do certain things. And if you're hanging out with them, and he hasn't predestined you to hang out with the spirits that are around them, you're going through a trial through more trials than what God intended you to go through because of your disobedience, because you were afraid of hurting their feelings more than speaking the truth.
No, absolutely. Listen, the word says, bad company corrupts good morals. Can somebody show me just the opposite of that anywhere? I have 8 unsaved friends. I go with them to the bar every week, to the go-go bar. I go with them everywhere because I'm going to get them saved. After 1 year, do you think there's 9 saved people? There's 9 sinners again. Don't think that you can walk with them, do what they do, and that's going to change them. One more, and we got to end.
Is it, I know the answer, but I'm going to say it anyway. But, I mean, we all have family members that way. We have family members that are atheists. We have family members that are gay, that, you know, all these things. And we still have to fellowship with them because there's family gatherings or there's family things.
You simply tell them. And if they love you and they respect you as much as you're saying you love and respect them, you say, don't say this in my house.
Oh, yes, I do that all the time.
And then if they don't do it, it's fine to let them in. But if they come over to your house and start preaching to everybody, doing stuff like that, I'm going to throw them out. Pastor.
No, I'm not referring to having them in my house. I'm just saying there's people in our lives that are family members that we still have to associate with. And then there's friends or other people that have come to church and left
that's
the church.
I understand what you're saying. 99% of the people you deal with are unsaved. Every time you go to a store, you're dealing with somebody unsaved. What I'm talking about is fellowshipping, being friends, connecting with, breaking bread with. That's the difference. Because you have to be out there to spread the gospel to those that are sick. You have to be with the sick.
Yeah, you know, Paul in Corinthians makes a distinction. You know, he says, you know, I told you before not to hang around with A, B, C, and D, all these sins. He says, not at all, meaning those in the world. The whole context here is those in the church that call themselves brothers or sisters that continue to bring division, that are walking in sin. As Bob would always say, hey, people outside, they're just doing what they're doing. That doesn't mean you should marry them or get into deep business relations with them, because there will be problems, you know. But that they're speaking about those in the church that continually cause division, what have you. So we know that we're to win the world, and you're gonna have to hang around with those people in the workplace and, you know, wherever you might find yourself. But you're to be that light and, you know, and try to draw them in. And you'll be amazed that you know, when you do that, they you know, they want to see how you live. They want to see what you have to say. I have no, you know, like I said, I have no problem. I don't, you know, I had a young man who was a homosexual, and he sought me out for counsel. And, you know, talked to him. I said, listen, what you're doing is wrong. It's going, you know, that doesn't mean we hate you. That means that what you're doing is wrong. It's going to lead to a problem. You are doing something that God has had told us is wrong, you know, and I'm just trying to give you a warning. And because I love you, I'm telling you it's wrong. Remember that old line from the movie, you know, a few good men. You can't, all I want is the truth. You can't handle the truth. And most Christians, most people can't handle the truth. Because it hurts.
You know,
like
timing.
That movie, The Matrix. I'm only promising you the truth. Nothing more, nothing less. And when you find out what the truth is sometimes, you go, I wish I'd have taken the blue pill.
All right. Bottom line. Each and every one of us are responsible for what goes in. We deal constantly with people that are unsaved. You're always going to hear from people that say they're part of the church, wanting to tell you how to live your life. Right? Word said they're going to be cursed and condemned for that. But if you listen to them, you will be too. Do not listen to them. Why do you think God put you in a body where you have people that you can go ask, was this right? Do you think I should be doing this? That's one of the greatest benefits of being in a church, right? Being sent out, being authorized, being under authority. Amen? That's not slavery. That's freedom. All right. We're low on time. I heard him just quit. That's why I went like 5 minutes over. He was still singing. So let's get downstairs, and we have prayer up front. Anybody that wants to join us, please come on up. Amen? Next Sunday, starting for a whole month, we're going to have Milton Rush. I can't pronounce my own name. He's a gentleman. He's come out here and taught before. He was a pastor at another church. He's been in the area forever and ever. He is an excellent teacher. You'll like him. Okay. Roe knows him, yeah. He's been around. But come on out and listen to him. Amen? All right, prayer down front. Thank you.